Hello? Hello? Is there anybody here? Hey! Hey! Is anybody here? Hey, there we go. We don't have a clapper, so.
Yes, we do.
Yay!
Clap on! Welcome back, everybody. Or you think somebody would actually come back after last week?
Well, I told my friends about it, so I hope so.
Okay. And maybe they'll tell two friends. And they'll tell two friends, and we'll all have beautiful hair.
Yes.
Yes, we will.
So here we are back at Raging Imagination. Should I say that in a voice? Do you like that? Raging Imagination. Is that
Sunday.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I'm quite comfortable in my seat, thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, here we are. We're back again, continuing our discussion and search for art and how it affects people, and who knows where it's going to lead us every week. So we have a special guest this week, somebody I ran into. Where did I first run into? We were performing Shakespeare in the Park, Midsummer's Night Dream. We have a fairy over there. Danielle was the...
The fairy. And Peas Blossom.
Yes, and
but
Peas Blossom.
The fairy.
To Titania.
Yeah.
Shout out to Titania. You were amazing. And I was Aegeus, the grumpy old bastard. and I also played Philostrate. But anyway, we were performing in the park. That's what Imagination does. We do theater. And just in case it's a backtrack, I'm going to self-promote just a little bit before we introduce our guest here. Imagination. We really didn't talk about who we were last week.
No.
We were formed 5 or 6 years ago. Trevor and I created this group, and it evolved into a theater group trying to become, I don't know, kind of have a little touch of everything. You know, get into improv, get into one acts, do mainstream and full length. What's mainstream theater? That sounds so boring. Is it on at 8 o'clock?
I would assume so.
Anyway, so we've been working. We got a hook last year to do Shakespeare, which was an amazing event. We did Midsummer's Night Dream in the park. So,
as it turns out, Shakespeare's hard.
Yeah. Full of vexation am I with complaint against my child, my daughter Herbia, and it's all it is hard.
It is so hard.
That took me a week just to learn that.
And you didn't have to sing it.
Singing's easier, I think, on the memorizing part. So
yeah, on the memorizing part, but I turned that little fairy ditty into that little poem into a little song, and I...
With snakes.
Yeah. So. Spotted snakes with double tongue. Thorny hedgehogs be not seen. It's such a creepy song. Anyways... Love
I don't know. I was thinking the other side, but okay. Whatever.
So, I want an answer to your question.
Which question did we ask?
Mainstream theater.
Yeah. What is mainstream theater?
Mainstream theater is regarding the most typical, normal, and conventional.
So no.
Basic.
Boring.
We are not mainstream theater. We are trying to take that edge off of the beaten path.
We want to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
Chaotic.
In Alberta, every little town has their love, sex, and the CIA, and their sexy little comedy and whatever. I think it's fantastic. Every little town can do it. We're trying to try and be a little more edgy, a little more fringy, I guess, maybe.
Not super fringy, but
no.
Like...
We can be cringy, but we don't want to go hardcore fringe. That's a small demographic. We're trying to trick people into some education here.
Yeah.
And to some fun that they wouldn't expect. So, Anyway, let's move on with it. So we ran into Deb here, who come to see one of our Midsummer's Night Dream. I'm getting excited. I'm talking fast.
Sorry for having that fact.
So Deb told me an interesting story, but we made a connection through theater. Would you like to say something about yourself?
Well, first of all, you guys are amazing. Your act was amazing. I really enjoyed myself at the play there. Secondly, I nearly froze to death that night.
Were you there the second night with the wind?
I was.
Gale force winds that night.
And I thought, well, I'll just stop. But I couldn't leave. I was riveted. And I was freezing.
I was also freezing.
Well, that's nice.
I wasn't allowed to wear a coat. I was in a frilly dress. And it was just as... so cold.
I was costuming for in a theater. I forgot the park.
I looked really good.
I came to the other one that was in theater as well, and amazing again. But as I was sitting on my walker in the park, freezing, trying to still my teeth so I could hear the lines, I heard someone going over lines and flipping pages off to my right. And I looked over, and sure enough, there's someone prompting at the edge of the stage. And I'm like, And then Mike, who I didn't know was Mike at the time, was there, and I figured out, I bet he's the director. And... I have experience in theater somewhat, and I thought it's time to do the play again, my play again. And so I spoke to you that night, and then tragedy struck, the Goudreau brothers tragedy. For anyone who doesn't know what that is, Johnny Goudreau and his brother Matthew were out biking, and they were run down by a drunk driver, which was a huge trigger for me, because the original story that I wrote after I'd had two kids and survived a tragedy myself. Had two kids, woke up one morning to the news that drinking and driving was up in the province, the cases of drinking and driving, and I thought I had to do something about it. I had two extra lives to worry about. So I wrote a play that night, and I rewrote this play front to back at least 7 times, probably more, but what came out was amazing.
It's absolutely astounding to me, and I have my own little stories, and I'm not going to waste time on that. This is about you, but that emotional real connection that you have with an event, with somebody, and how it changes everything. Theater is such a powerful tool to tell people these stories and I think that's one of the draws for me, is it opens up your soul. It makes you vulnerable. It allows that vulnerability, and it allows other people to try and hopefully relate.
Exactly. You can get entertainment from it and be entertained while you are teaching something at the same time, while you are making a specific statement about something. Mm-hmm. And my accident was drunk driving. There were two drunk drivers involved. Neither of them were charged with drunk driving. The one I was with, and the one who hit us. I don't drink. I've never drank in my life. And I should have been driving that night. But as it turned out, I wasn't. And I nearly paid for it with my life. I went along to save my friends, if you want to call it that. Plus, honestly, there was a really cute guy, and and I wanted something to develop there, but that's beside the point. You know,
the things we do for cute guys.
I know, right?
Right. Like, so how long ago was this accident?
35 years ago.
Okay.
And it changed my life. I was in university.
Yeah.
I was going to be a lawyer. Okay. I'd won scholarships upon scholarships upon scholarships. I'd won the Governor General's Award. And I was full of promise and all that P&V and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
P&V? Oh, never mind. I got it.
Okay.
I'm quick as a snail.
Yes. And then I went out at Easter time for one last hurrah. It was right before exams. The year was basically over. And I didn't come home. We went out that night after the bar closed. And without getting into graphics of the story, we were hit on the highway, and I flew 80 feet out of the car, bounced on my head like a basketball, 20 more. Again, I don't really, broke my neck, cracked my skull, damaged my brain, was in a coma 2 months, died on the highway, was in a coma 2 months. If you could have a look at the inside of my skull, you would see claw marks where I could hear everything going on around me and wanting to respond to everything and not being able to. But I digress. I don't want to go too long into that, but I know that, like Mike said, the arts are an expression of yourself. This play, Shattered, there is some laughter, there's quite a bit of tongue-in-cheek irony to the main character's actions with these guys, saying, oh, he's drunk, and but he's so cute.
Yeah.
The excuses.
the things that people will do for someone who is cute. Or cute.
Yes,
adorable.
Yes. Corey, you were going to say something?
My brain stopped working there for a moment. And, like, drunk driving has affected... so many people, and it's like it continues to happen.
I remember it's interesting. Like as a kid growing up, and to I don't mean to add insult to injury or anything, but we were all young, dumb, and broke mm-hmm. at one time. And I remember as a kid doing the occasional mm-hmm. drinking and driving thing, and I never thought much of it, you know. And even the generation
everybody
before me,
did.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody ever does. It's not going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. I'm special.
Yeah. I had my great aunt. She lost her son to drunk driving, and we named my son after him because he ended up being born on like the anniversary of his death. And just the name, it just is like, this is his name. This is the name that matches my son. Because I had a totally different name picked out, and then he was born, and it's like, that's not his name. But yeah, drunk driving affects everyone so differently. And sometimes you survive, but are changed. And actually, well, you survive and you are changed. Doesn't matter what part.
Well, I like that you said that, actually, the fact that it changed you. I mean, hopefully we're always changing.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're always growing and evolving.
Yeah.
And art.
But and for theater. Example, like you could have been a lawyer. And now, since that accident, you have been changed.
I saw law from the other side.
Yeah.
And I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
How long, here's a question, how long was it after that you wrote the play, after the accident? How many years?
7.
7
the
years.
Accident happened in 89. And the I wrote a play in 97. Now, this is also a connection with the Calgary Flames, for whom Johnny Gaudreau played. Okay?
I'm a Flames fan. I'd like to point that out.
Let me shake your hand. Yeah. You're a good man, Mike.
Yes. Yes. Such a great team. Ginla, Lanny McDonald, ex-Maple Leaf, won the cup with Dougie Gilmore. Sorry.
I was just going to say Dougie Gilmore.
Dougie Gilmore. The best all-around player of his time. And he played at the same time Gretzky did.
Go sports.
Sorry, that was Don Cherry. He used to say that about Dougie Gilmore. So.
1989 was the year that my Flames won the cup. Now, the accident was in March, okay? March 24th. So I was in a coma 2 months, April 24th, May 24th. Back up a bit, it was like 7.5 weeks. So not quite 2 months. May 15th, I came out of the coma. My eyes were open, and technically you are not out of a coma until you say something.
Yeah.
I used to thrash. This side was paralyzed, but this arm pulled every tube out of every orifice of my body.
Oh, God. Sorry.
So I pulled, close your ears, Mike. I pulled a feeding tube out of my stomach, and they had to reattach it. So he was putting it back in. Close your ears again, Mike. And my first words to this technician were, ouch, that hurts. And yeah, they celebrated. But then they started sitting me up and putting me in a wheelchair and tying me to this blooming wheelchair and sitting me in front of the TV while everybody else had supper. And it was hockey playoff time. And I was getting back in my head, and I knew that I've been a hockey fan my whole life. And so I knew that, you know, the Oilers and Gretzky.
Gretzky. Yeah.
Anyway, and the Flames had always been my favorite team.
Go Flames!
Yeah.
Woohoo! Sports.
That's why I'm like. And I knew that it was going really fast. And I thought the whole thing was a dream. I mean, people were coming to see me that never would come see me. My grade 2 teacher came and saw me. So I used to do crazy things. Well, people were there visiting me. Like, I'm going to have some fun with this. Pick my nose when my grade two teacher's there. And, I'm really going to have some fun with her. Eat it. I look back on it now and I think, what on earth was I doing?
Well, you thought you were in a dream.
Oh, there you go. I was trying to snap.
You can do anything in a dream.
I was trying to snap myself out of it. And so the Calgary Flames were playing Montreal in the final series for the Stanley Cup. And I thought, oh, come on, that's not going to happen. And it came down to game six at the Forum. And I had visited Quebec like the year before. We'd missed seeing the Forum because the plane had gotten late and whatever. But then they told the Forum, no, not yet. Okay. So I knew. And I thought, well, Calgary will never beat Montreal in game six. And if they do, well, then for sure this is a dream. But doctors have been telling me that I would not walk. Okay, if Calgary can beat Montreal on Forum ice in game six, which had never been done before, then I will walk again. Well, they did. They did.
Of course they did.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I stood up the next morning. It wasn't a long time. I got in supreme trouble from the nurse because she walked in and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You could fall. But I stood up and pulled up my own pants with one arm.
Good job.
But if you didn't get up, you never had an opportunity to fall.
There you go.
You just get back up.
Why do we fall down? So we can learn to pick ourselves up again.
Absolutely.
Name that movie. Sorry. It's Batman.
Which Batman?
The Begins. Christian Bale Batman.
Okay. That is incredible to go from like 7 weeks of a coma.
Seven and a half weeks
of a coma to like.
Don't underplay it, Danielle.
Sorry. But like, so much happens in 7.5 weeks. And then so much doesn't happen in 7.5 weeks. Like, it's so. The body does amazing things, but the world still doesn't stand still. And you got up and you walked.
I did. But I just want to say that coming out of a coma is not like on TV or in the movies, or it's not like that.
No, it is
not. I was a baby again. At 19 years of age, I wore diapers. I had to learn to eat. Everything. So when I brought these two beautiful beings into the world, my sense of I need to protect them intensified a lot. My son was, he was older than when I wrote the play, I guess, but not much older. He was an infant when I wrote the play. And
I have a question. I want to back up a little bit, and I wanted to ask, what was the drive? This is before the kids. You seen the Flames. If the Flames can win, you can win.
That's right.
You stood up.
That's right.
What was it? It's easier to give up than to push on. Was there something in your mind that triggered you that kept, you know, the Rocky montage music? Or was it, you know, was it something that your future you clearly had to shift? But was there something that you could see at the end of the road that you needed to go for?
me being right. I couldn't be wrong.
Right in the sense of?
I wanted to stop drinking and driving. I wanted to save the world. I thought incorrectly that I could put an end to drinking and driving. And so many times throughout the course of my life, it has come back that, you know, kids got killed at my daughter's school because of her drinking and driving. Okay, it's time to do the play again. And I took that to the teacher, and I mean, he had a school to run, and it's understandable now, I guess. But I still think my play could have helped. And then when it's terrible that I keep coming back to this, when Johnny Gaudreau was killed. Johnny Gaudreau was a Calgary Flame. Not when the accident happened, but he was Johnny Hockey. And that's where he started, was Calgary. That's, the Flames love him. And I so badly wanted to be at the memorial for the Gaudreau brothers. I so badly wanted to be there.
So you see your play as like a healing for yourself and other people?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But I also hope that it's preventative.
Okay.
I hope it has enough of an impact that when people have a drink or two, no matter if they're intoxicated or not, once they've had a drink or two and are feeling good, I hope that this play makes them think, mm-hmm. maybe I shouldn't get behind the wheel.
So theater and plays and entertainment and education are all such valuable elements of it. Absolutely. So at the end of this play, and I hope to see it soon, and I hope maybe we can put it on for you eventually. But at the end of this play, what do you? And this has always been kind of a defining action. At the end of your play, what do you want the first reaction to be from the audience?
Wow.
So you're looking for an awe.
Not necessarily, wow, that was well written. Not necessarily, wow, the acting was immeasurable. But wow.
I don't know if I'll be in it.
What?
Sorry. I know what you're saying.
Well, then they definitely won't say wow. Is that what you're looking for?
Like you want them to be wow.
I want them to say wow.
That play is going to make me rethink some of the things I have done.
Yes.
And rethink absolutely. The things that I potentially will do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually a great element in the sense that a good story can transcend the performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we all want the best actors and the best performers.
Yeah. Yes.
But if you have a well-written story, that can transcend those elements. And yeah. I've seen it. We see it in movies all the time where you really connected with that movie. But when you look back at it and from another perspective, oh, my God, that was – somebody gave them money for that?
Yeah, like the acting was terrible, but the story was so good.
Batman.
Like Batman. Actually, I really liked the new Batman, just saying.
Thought it was really like well. The Pattinson?
The new Batman, like, just I think it's just called Batman.
Yeah, with Pattinson. Robert Pattinson.
Robert Patterson.
The Twilight.
The Twilight guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was terrible in Twilight, loved him in Batman.
Redemption. Sorry, redemption.
And, Thank you. But yeah, like the story, you want the story to talk to the person.
I do. And I don't want it to be seen like I'm judging anyone or anything like that. I mean, because people make mistakes, but sometimes those mistakes can take somebody else's life.
They can be quite costly.
Yes. I don't know how to say this. I don't want to seem like a goody-goody two-shoes, and because I'm not. It was my own fault for getting in that car that night. I did not have to go with them. And that's what the lawyers jumped all over during the court case. And that's the reason why I'm not a lawyer, because I don't want to do that to someone else. But I didn't have to go with them, but I went with them to save my friends, like, because I thought I could help. And the cute guy.
Now, you went because you thought you could stop them. You could control the situation, right? Oh, I can make this not happen, right?
Yeah.
Because that's how I'm thinking, too. I remember sitting in a car, and this is kind of silly, but it's just like I was sitting in a parked car. A car was backing up, and it was going to hit my car, and I put out my hand as if I could stop it.
Yes.
And it's just that momentary thing, that idea is like, I'm superhuman. I can stop it happening because shit doesn't happen to me. And then to get over that, and now you've learned it the hard way in that sense.
Yeah. But, you know, my accent.
And all for a cute guy.
Well, I didn't end up with the cute guy anyway.
Lips of an angel.
There you go.
Throwback. Yeah, sorry.
So, like, when you, this might be like a little psychology thing, but I'm you keep saying like you wanted to save your friends. Just curious, like, save your friends from what exactly?
I knew something was going to happen that night. Oh. I knew it in my deepest core. I knew something was going to happen. It was March 23rd going into the 24th.
Yeah.
It was March 24th when the accident actually happened.
Yeah.
March 24th, the year before, was a day that my best friend asked me out, and it began the beginning of the end. It ruined our friendship. I fell in love with him. And so the cute guy that I was going along to save was kind of the rebound guy from this other. But the anniversary of that date was March 24th.
Oh, okay. So it's
and
just
I
that.
Knew something was going to happen.
That's interesting.
And as a thing now, something happens on the 24th of every month. I don't know what it is, if it's just that I notice it more on the 24th or what it is, but so many things have happened on the 24th.
That's just your number, I guess. It's the universe chose you a number.
Mine's 69.
So mature, Maya.
So here I was born. So I'm sorry.
Well, tell Brian Adams that.
The summer of 69.
Actually, 19 is a number that stands out to me, actually. But that's because I was born on the 19th of a month. My sister was born on the 19th of the month. My brother was born on the 19th of the month. The other brother was born on another day. And just a lot of people were born on the 19th of of 1 month or another. So that one sticks up.
Has this play been performed?
It has been performed. We did it. It was a cast of 8, 9, including me. And my character's name was Emily.
Okay.
And my daughter's name is Danielle.
It's a great name. Well, I'm named after my grandpa, so
okay.
He's a fantastic dude. It's a very recommended name. I love it.
And my daughter goes by Danny, so there you go.
There you go.
It's an awesome name. I'm
Anyway, so you have written yourself in your play.
I play an ethereal character.
Okay.
The conscience. The angel.
Yeah.
And the devil on her shoulder.
Ah.
I got to say, they're so drunk. Don't go. Then, oh, but he's so cute.
Yeah.
But they're so drunk. They're going to get into an accident. But he's so hot. Come on.
Yeah.
And
I can relate to that a lot, unfortunately.
And I actually wore a long red evening gown in the performance with a slit to the thigh. I was cute back then.
You're still cute now.
Sure. It became too hard. We started performing or started acting. And as it got closer and closer and closer to production, it got closer and closer and closer to the truth.
I love stories that play with the background conscience.
Yeah.
Of what you're thinking, you know? I mean, we always...
That little inner voice that everyone
Yeah. And whether it's one or two inner voices, you know, I mean, it's just like, do it. No, but something might happen. Odds are it won't. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do it.
Yeah.
But you're subverting the question.
No.
Yeah.
Who plays?
Who would you want?
Who plays young star? Debbie?
Yeah. Or the characters in your play.
You called her Emily, right?
Who would play Emily in your play?
Doesn't have to be someone famous.
No, anyone you want.
You.
Oh.
Well, we just saved ourselves $2 million right there.
I'll do it. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Oh.
And when I cast this play, when I cast the original, I didn't know anything. The director, who was the drama director at the local college, so he said that he had kids in the acting class that he would cast in, you know, the various positions. And I said, well, no, I want to cast Todd, the cute guy.
Yeah.
So I walked up to this random dude in a restaurant one day. And I walked over to him. Thank God it was cute back then. Thank God. And I said to him, you're Todd. He said, no, I'm sorry, my name's Alan. I said, no, you're not understanding. I said, you're Todd.
For tonight, I'll be anybody you need. No, sorry.
He was okay. I'm sure he thought I was on something. I said, we'll talk, you know. And sure enough, I told the director this, and who do you think he got to play Todd was Alan. And now Alan managed an indigenous group in Saskatoon, theater group in Saskatoon.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yes. And he was on Shakespeare on the Saskatchewan. And I know.
I'm going to fangirl, and I don't even know this guy. I know, right?
He's got
to be so cute.
We're going to get along famously. And that
happy. Yes. So happy to be your friend.
I'd like to point out that if a guy did that, that would be creepy. You're Cecilia. No, trust me. You're going to be Cecilia.
I'm just going to say, Mike, I have been approached like that, and I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? I'll be Cecilia today. And that's how I ended up with some of my friends.
So I... so...
I am an odd duck, and I am well aware of this.
Yeah. And then we went and had coffee. We sat there for an hour or so, and we talked about that. And again, I'm not going to go deep into it. I remember a play I did, Red, with my son, about Mark Rothko. And he talks about how, in his case, how tragedy inspires art. And I know I very, very quickly connected those dots in that. And that was a play that's probably... Like I said, we'll develop a whole episode onto that type of depth. But that's the type of stories that I love and I like, where you can take tragedy and put those spins on it, and you know, we can only do so much. But and I hate the whole silver lining type thing. But it's like I say, we're always should be changing and always should be growing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, you're in palliative care of life.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So, you know, yours was a massive hurdle. But you overcame it because you changed, you adapted.
There was a lot of, obviously a lot of determination.
Yeah.
Or stubbornness, as my mother tended to tell me. But
stubborn, determined, like, they're synonyms.
Sure. I don't think she meant it like that. I think she meant like an ox or an ass or, you know,
but
something.
But they get shit done, do they not?
I suppose. Yes, I suppose. It's been 35 years since the accident. 35 and a half, actually, on the 24th. Which just passed.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah, that's the day after my daughter's birthday. When I was pregnant with her, I did not want to have her on the 24th. So I did everything I could.
Yeah.
So that she was not born on the 24th. I ended up being induced, but that was neither here nor there. And she was born on the 23rd.
Yay!
Yes.
Not the 24th.
Yes.
That's when my parents' birthday was, on the 23rd.
On the 23rd?
Yes.
Both your parents have the same birthday?
Actually, the same day, a bit month, 5 years apart. But yeah, October 23rd is both mom and dad.
That's wicked.
Well, I thought they were lying to us for years. Oh, don't worry about us. Oh, it's the same day.
Just one birthday.
Yeah. You
actually had a cake your whole entire life.
Well, my oldest sister, who we lost when I was 11, we were both born on August 19th, 10 years apart, down to the hour. So she was born 59. I was born 69. And I always felt like there was a connection. I was 11 when she passed away, and I always felt there was this odd, weird connection. And again, with the numbers, is like, you know, and create that. And yeah, she was the only artistic one in the family until I came along. I was the last one of four. So, I mean, there's drawings of horses, and she loved horses. And
yeah.
She had all that from my sister 10 years apart, so... well, you know what? I really hope we get to get your play on the go, and I hope...
I will be Emily.
I hope awesome. We get to see more of you and work with you, and perhaps you can maybe write some other stuff. And you looked excited there for a moment.
Do you have an idea in mind?
With the Goodrow's passing, I was... See, there's... The other character in my play is a hockey player.
Oh.
And he's the, I suppose, antagonist in my play.
Yeah.
Because that's the way I wrote it. He's the guy that I was with.
Yeah.
And he got...
Not the cute guy.
No, not the cute... Oh, heavens.
Shit,
heavens.
My mouth.
No, the guy that I was with was short and annoying, but he was a good hockey player.
I'm fighting the urge to say it. You know what I want to say. Hey, Jeff, how's it going? Sorry, Jeff. I'm just kidding. It was funny.
We love Grandpa Jeff.
Grandpa Jeff.
Grandpa Jeff. So.
Okay.
Jeff isn't actually a grandpa. That's just what my daughter calls him.
Okay.
I thought about turning him in. He's a good friend of ours. He does the other podcast, and he was in a play we wrote there called Lizards Don't Have Dicks. That's another podcast we'll discuss. But I thought about making his character a grandfather, and somehow it stuck.
Okay.
But I think we need to wind up. This is very fun interviewing you. I like interviewing new people. Is there anything else you'd like to say on passing final words?
Don't drink and drive. Yeah. Don't drink and drive. Don't get high and drive. Don't text and drive. Don't go with anyone who's doing these things.
Every 79 seconds, and someone is killed or injured in a drinking and driving crash.
And if they're not killed or injured, they're left to live like me. I fought for everything I had. I fought for everything I do. I have fought to be normal. I have fought to look normal. And although I don't look normal, and although I don't look like normal people, normal is boring, and I do my best.
Shout out to Ash.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dreads in a pirate dress.
All right. Legs.
Y'all look fabulous.
I think you are a very beautiful human being.
Beauty comes from within.
Yeah.
And so I will take that.
I think you are an absolutely beautiful human being. I find your story very inspiring. I am super stoked to read through your play. I think your story is inspiring.
The script, which was in my storage unit, all of my stuff is in a storage unit. And I just went to the storage unit for the first time since I moved to Camrose. I just went the other day to find the script, and I've got the original play on memory stick. It ran for 3 nights at the Fringe in Lloydminster, and it was the hit of the Fringe. And afterwards, in the receiving line afterwards, I got so many compliments. So many people were touched by my play. Mm-hmm. And I don't care necessarily about accolades. I don't care about being famous or whatever. I care about stopping drinking and driving, which I know won't happen, but it will for a while.
Yeah. You could save one person's life.
If I save one person, then I've done my job.
Yeah.
I do videos every day for our military, for our first responder community. I make videos every day, and I beg people, don't give in. Don't give up. Don't let the demons win. Yeah, there's alcoholism and addiction and mental illness and so much.
I think this could be a great way to help fight the demons with this podcast, and I think we can help get the words out there, and I think going a little on the dark side is not a bad thing. And I think everybody needs to hear a little bit.
Absolutely.
Of everything. And hopefully we'll make somebody cry. We'll make somebody laugh. We'll make somebody aw. We'll make somebody
Think.
Think. More than anything else, I want you to think. I want people to think.
That's right.
You know, you walk out of something, and a week later you're still thinking about that thing. That's the impact you want at a theater.
That is absolutely it. And that's what I want to do.
We had a wonderful person to talk to. The conversation's really good. The story was really good. And hopefully we can do something. Before we head out, I want to mention a couple other statistics. Drinking and driving is up 31% since 2019. Ooh. I would wager kids get your head out of your asses and do something smart. Old farts, fucking get your head out of the asses, out of your past. It's not fucking 1970 anymore. And don't drink and drive. Two out of three people are impacted by drinking and driving, which I think is under. I think that third person that isn't impacted just doesn't know it. 2020, 347,000 drunk driving episodes each day.
And what about each the ones
day.
That don't get caught?
Yes. And that's it. So this is an important test or an important message to everybody.
Yeah.
Don't drink and drive. Keep your stick on the ice. And if you can't be handsome, you can at least be handy.
Go sports.
That's red green.
That's
red
at the very end.
Hurry, heat up meters. Yeah. Hurry, heat up meters. Whoa, look.